T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Marks and Reese, we are back. And joining us the day after the game, or the day after that, is Trey Thomas. The great Trey Thomas, also the co-host of the other post-game show, which you can catch after Eagles games on WIP's Facebook Live and Instagram Live. What's up, Big Trey?
Chilling, man. What's good? I mean, you know, I'm just hanging out, man, just breaking down film, just filming myself to death over these past couple days.
All right, that's what we're looking for. So what did you? So just overall, I know the answer is probably not going to be good, but how overall did the offensive line perform Sunday?
8 sacks. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like really? I mean, you know, 8 sacks, 14 quarterback hits. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like a lot of it. Okay, some of it, Wentz holding on to the ball a little bit, but at the end of the day, 8 sacks, 14 quarterback hits. That's on you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like I mean, you know, there was. There are some things that could have been cleaned up, of course. I mean, you go out there with people that – I mean, you threw Jack out there, which I feel like when I sit back and I watched him play, he played his ass off out there, man. He battled.
Yeah.
He gave you what he had. Now, I mean, that's a rookie finding out today before
the
a game.
Day, yeah.
The day of the game, like, hey, man, you're going to have to go out there and start against the number 2 pick in the draft in Kerrigan.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. You know, like, you just get thrown out there. And then now you have Nate
Herbig.
Mm-hmm. And I didn't even know he was in consideration at right guard. I thought he did, you know, he was solid as well. But there were some things that when you go back and you look at it, and you like, that could have been cleaned up.
So you think, just I'm going to focus on the young guys, right? Because the young guys, who knows, with this line, they may find themselves back out there at some point at a different position or whatever. You weren't as concerned about the young guys and how they play. You see where they can get better. There's some coaching points there, but it's not like it's a disaster.
No, it was definitely not a disaster. It wasn't all on them.
Right.
To me, man, you go out there and you look at what Jack and even Jordan Mailata finding out, like, hey, man, I got to go in, what was it, third quarter, end of the third quarter, fourth quarter, that you have to go in the game. You've been sitting down. That's 300-something pounds been sitting all day. And now you got to just, all right, I got to get ready and go get in the game. You know, right now it takes me probably about 2 days to warm up. You know what I'm saying? But you get him out there. He's like, man, all right. And, again, you going up the number, second pick in the draft. And I mean,
what's about 3 or 4 first-round picks on that line?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and don't mess around and get the pride of Temple out there, Matt.
Ioannidis,
who is no joke in there.
Yeah.
This was a front that, you know.
Very underrated front, man.
Very. Well, I mean.
Tried to tell us.
I tried to tell you that this defensive front was no joke, and you needed all hands on deck.
Yeah.
All hands on deck. And, I mean, just everything, when you find out that Lane cannot play in the game, I was so pissed. I had to just calm myself down and, all right, let's move forward.
Jason Peters, he worked all camp at right guard the last week of the season or of camp. Moved back over to left tackle. How did he perform?
I think that he had some times where he looked like Jason Peters old. I mean, you know, there were times where he sat down on the bull rush.
Did you say of old or is old? Like,
of old. Like, he looked like the old JP.
Yeah, right, okay.
Where he was able to sit down on the bull rush. I mean, he did some good stuff out there. But then there were some times
where old Jason Peters.
Yeah, where the guy ran by him, you know, down there where they were backed up on, like, the 2-yard line or something like that. Sweat just kind of just – gave him a nice little outside hand swim and was gone. I mean, you know, Carson got rid of the ball in the nick of time. Mm-hmm. And then on the one play where Chase Young gave him the spin move and beat him for the sack fumble, you know, that's a tough situation being as a tackle. I remember one time, you know, as a tackle, and I would always tell my running backs, and that's one of the time I got into it with Darnell Archie. That's a whole other story, though. But where if I'm running the defensive end upfield, do not hit him, especially if he's a spin move guy.
Right.
And the running back, JP had him running upfield. Running back come in there and gave him a little chip move, spin move, and then inside. Bam, there's a sack fumble right there. So, I mean, you know, that one was tough there. And then, you know, the one at the end where, you know, first that was Nate Herbig.
Herbig.
Yeah. You know, he was the one that started that pressure where the last sack fumble, you know, because Matt Ioannidis gave him the good edge rush, took him upfield, which made Carson step upfield. And then now Chase Young just folded back and got another sack fumble. So, I mean, you know, it was all around not good for, you know, just across the board. I felt like when you look at the one sack where everybody's on Jack about right now, all right? So, you know, everybody like, oh, that was messed up on his behalf. You know what? I look at that play, and I know when you understand – passing strength and understand where defenses are. Now, you had just been working Washington a little bit where they had got in a nickel front, all right? So they came out there in a nickel. We're in 12 personnel. So that means that we had one running back, two tight ends, all right? Mm-hmm. So we had a tight end on both sides, receivers on both sides, all right? So now the running back is to the right. Now, they're in nickel. The safety comes down. So now you got the safety. The passing strength is to the wide side of the field. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why Kelce told the right guard to slide with him. You have four guys blocking three defensive linemen, and Jack is out there looking at it like, hey, man, I got two guys over here. We should be going right.
So Kelce didn't have a strong game in your mind?
No, he did not. There were a couple times, there were a couple instances that I felt like he should have been in a better situation. Well, even
protection-wise.
Protection-wise.
Yeah.
Even when you look at the sack where you had 53 come right up the middle.
That's the one on fourth down.
Fourth and four, yeah.
Fourth and four. Well, we think the running back missed the protection.
I feel like Kelce, again, should have gone right. The back was to the left. Again, the wide side of the field is to the right. Passing strength is to the right. Why are you, as the center, going left? You should be going right. Go to the right because now the back is to the left. He could fit in there and take that other linebacker if he comes.
Right.
But the linebacker just came down, held Kelce there, and then 53 hit the gap. You see what I'm saying? So. Yeah. There were just too many times where I just felt like the communication was not there and it wasn't as clean as you would like it to be. I mean, you know, but then I'm wondering, okay, is it Kelce or is it even what's coached out? What are you teaching?
Mm. All right, Trey, so I guess the question from all Eagles fans are, with Lane Johnson saying he's going to play this week and with everything else that you've seen and the fact that there's, there'll be another game and they get to be coached, can this offensive line be okay enough to protect Carson and try to get some wins here?
Well, you're going to have to. I mean, you know, this is going to be riding on the offensive line's back right now, you know, because you got to keep the quarterback up. I mean, you can bring in all the weapons you want out there, and if you can't get out there and protect, you know, what are we doing? Yeah, I mean, if you can't run the ball, if you can't protect the quarterback, then what? You're not going to win. You're not going to win. When you go out there, and I'm just saying, come out of this game, man, with eight sacks, man. With eight sacks, and you went up against the number 10th passing rush defense, rush at the quarterback defense from last year. Right. You went up against the 10th. You haven't even gone up against number one yet. And then you saw number one come out there against New York, and I think they only gave up, maybe three sacks?
Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They only got
three. I see
what
you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
And that Giants offensive line is terrible.
Terrible.
Yeah. And
just ask Saquon Barkley,
15 carries, 6 yards, which was amazing. He's on Ike's fantasy team.
Awesome.
There as well. So Trey, I guess that, you know, what we're asking people is that I think it's easy, and normally I'm the one that overreacts to a loss like this and goes crazy and says the season's over. But as bad of a loss as it was, they still have Carson Wentz, who we know didn't play well in the second half. And I still look at Doug, and these guys play for Doug. Are you concerned about the season at this point to where it's like, wow, this could be real trouble? You kind of feel the same that you did before.
Nah, I mean, you know what? You can always correct a lot of the stuff that's going on. That can be corrected. I mean, making sure that you get the guys on the right page, on the same page, making sure that you're communicating better, making sure that you see the feel. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, to me, I'm like, Kelce, man, you should have seen that. You should have seen that. Instead of sliding left, you should have been able to say, hey, man, the safety's coming down. Why are you sliding everybody left?
Yeah.
Safety's coming down to the right. Your head is up. Call it.
Let me ask you this. Because the quarterback and the center are usually on the same page, right? Or at least – because I guess the quarterback has to know where the protection is sliding? So he, or does he? I'm wrong here.
There are times where, yeah, you want the quarterback to say that, but man, when you the center is the quarterback of the offensive
line. Yeah,
and
yeah.
So everybody's listening to what the center says.
So the quarterback is not setting the protection.
He's not setting the protection.
Got now, you.
Teams do it differently. Other teams do it differently. Now, you go out to Kansas City, hey, Mahomes, he's calling everything. He changes the protections, does all of that because he might want that hot read coming off.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because now he got something.
Because now he knows where he can go with the ball. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But for us, the center is the one that's going to make the call and direct the traffic.
All right, let me ask you this. When I know you do the all 22s and you watch everything, man. Mm-hmm. Watching Carson, right? Because I know, as a former old lineman, with five back there, five at times would hold that ball and get a sack, and you're like, "Hold on, man! I was blocking for 4 seconds, and you still got the ball. That sack ain't on me."
Uh-huh.
So, what did you see from that standpoint? The quarterback, could he have helped the offense out, the offensive line out, by getting rid of the football? Could he have saved himself? And if so, was that a reoccurring theme Sunday, or did you just see a time or two where he could have done it?
Okay, now for him to throw the ball, the receivers need to be open.
Now, Doug said that yesterday.
Yeah.
Doug said when the quarterback holds the ball, it's not always he don't know where to go with the ball. Guys aren't open all the time.
They need to be open. So now when you go back and you look at all of his throws, he had 42 throws. And when I watched the game, everybody wondered why you sit up there with a stopwatch and different color pens before every time you watch the back.
Oh, my man
I
is
time
ready.
Every throw.
He does.
So when I go back and I look at them, all my notes, and I say, all right, you know what? His average throw time was 3.1 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's too long. That's too long if you're going to be successful. When you go back and you look at Dwayne Haskins, how what his throw time was, 2.3.
Getting it out.
When they started being successful, that's when they were getting rid of the ball. On that first touchdown drive, they didn't have a pass go over 2 seconds. All four of his passes was 1.7, 1.7, 1.8 touchdown.
Wentz you're talking about.
No, I'm talking about Dwayne.
Okay.
When they were starting to come back, that first touchdown,
because
before he was holding on to the ball a little bit longer and he was trying to go deep every time. Mm. But then when they went and got that touchdown, every pass was under 2 seconds.
Mm.
So, I mean, you saw too many times where Carson was holding on to the ball a little too long.
Yeah.
Now, is that his fault or is it the receiver's fault? Are the receivers getting open? Because, he can't – who are you going to throw it to? Because then you're talking bad about him like, oh, man, he just threw it out there to the grasshopper over there, that butterfly that was sitting on the sideline nice and calm.
Yeah.
Or throw it out of bounds.
Or throw it out. I mean, on the one play where it was 3rd-and-8, you're down there, you're trying to make a play, and I get it. He should have thrown that ball away.
That's the one I yelled.
He should have thrown that ball away because it was 3rd-and-8, and then now you get
the one in the field goal range. He knocked him out of field goal.
Went from a 39-yard field goal to a 53.
Yeah. And then on the one where it was a – the tight end screen to the right where everybody were carrying and kind of played back and shut it down. I put that on Doug and them.
Okay.
I put that on Doug and them because, you know, when we're in practice, you want the quarterbacks to feel good. So the first read is always there.
That's true.
So you never take away that first read. You know what I'm saying? So now how are you going to start to continue to train him to move forward? You got to take that first read away to make him go to that second read. Because DeSean Jackson was wide open to the left.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, what are you doing? Like, you know, every time you can't always make him feel good in practice. You got to go ahead.
You got to make him feel uncomfortable sometimes.
Exactly. So that he can go through the progression.
That's Trey Thomas. We will take some phone calls. 215-592-9494. Phone calls coming up in a second. So I guess, Trey, like, is it just a loss and they got a tough team this week that they can beat? Or is this a bigger concern for you?
It's not a bigger concern because, I mean, like I said, a lot of this can be corrected. A lot of this can be corrected when you go back in and you study your film and you say, all right, you know what? What did we do well? What did we do wrong? What can we do to change this and all that? I mean, you know, because it's copycat league. You got to expect – you're going to get tested again with the same stuff until you pass it.
Yep.
You know, so they're going to give you a lot of the same stuff. So, I mean, you know, it's good that Lane is coming back. But, I mean, you know, you got – did you see what Aaron Donald was out there doing to Zach Martin?
Ooh, boy.
I mean, you know.
We saw
he
it.
He was throwing.
I mean, just throwing cats.
Yep.
All right.
He was. Trey, were you surprised at how the Eagles, what they look like, how they called plays, the fact that Carson was in the pocket as much as he was, there was no rolling? I know there's been some speculation that maybe the groin – prevented him or Doug didn't want to roll him out for any of those reasons? Were you surprised what they did in the second half?
Yeah, I was surprised that they did not, you know, I felt like there was no creativity in the offense. It was very just like, all right, we just going, hey, just drop back and just, hey, man, you know, we're going to just pull it off. You know, we're just going to win. We're going to take care of this, keep it vanilla, and we'll get it done. Oh, man, you know, this. Everybody was like, oh, yeah, man, we usually whoop Washington every time. All right, this is a different year, man.
It's a different
and
Washington
I told
team.
You, anytime you deal with a team where something has happened, you never know how a team
Ron
is going to react.
Yeah. He even got an IV at halftime.
Got an IV. How can you not battle for him?
Seriously.
How can you not battle for him when you go in there and you might be a little tired and you see your coach in there getting an IV trying to get right? Yeah. Man, let's go to work.
He has cancer.
Yeah. Let's go to work. What we going to do?
No, you can tell they wanted to get that win for him, first win as a coach down there in Washington.
Yeah.
They were playing hard, and what you could tell is that they slowly started gaining momentum. I don't know if they thought they could win the game early, but the more
mistakes
the Eagles made, and they look up at the scoreboard like, hold on, we're in the third quarter. They still only got 17.
Yeah.
Oh, we can win this game.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can win this game.
17-7. Oh, yeah. Let's go ahead.
Yeah, let's
you
go ahead and win.
You start looking at what's going on in the secondary. You're like, all right, hey, the offensive line was holding up pretty good. Yep. Hey, let's get rid of that ball. Get rid of that ball. And they broke out a couple nice runs. This is the thing that's kind of interesting to me, though, with this team. You don't have a spark plug on the sideline. You don't have anybody that's going to bring that energy on the sideline right now. And with you being in
you need it, yeah.
You need that because you got to bring your own juice now. You know what I'm saying? There's nobody in the – you can't feed off that energy in the stands.
Right.
So, you know, who's your spark plug on the team? Who's going to be your guy? Because, I mean, you got to start making plays. You got to get everybody riled up. To me, it just seemed like you out there just making plays. All right, then you walk on off to the sideline, get you some water, Gatorade or whatever, and then you just keep it moving. But you saw Washington getting a little bit more amped up as they continue to go. So, you know, who's going to be the person on this team to kind of get that going? You don't have that right now.
I will say this. I think – and this is where I'll blame Carson. I think the interception before the half and then another one coming out of the locker room. Was it the first series or the second series?
No, it was the second. They went three and out.
Washington went three and out.
Sorry,
Washington
football team.
And then Carson threw another pick.
Yes.
Yeah, he came out through that pick.
That's when I believe the
– momentum
turned. The team's energy and morale went down.
Yeah,
because now you're looking at three straight possessions from an offensive standpoint where the defense is like, hold on, we were pitching a shutout. This team can't do anything against us. And in three straight possessions, you all haven't done a thing.
Giving the ball back to them, yeah.
So you know this trait. Yeah. Offense can only create energy by positive plays. Defense needs something to feed off of. And Washington's offense was so vanilla – it was hard for the defense to come up with a play, right? They couldn't get an interception because Haskins didn't put the ball in except for the one time where Maddox almost picked it off.
Yeah.
The defense seemed like they didn't have juice after that first half. And I think it was because they saw the offense performing and it was like, man, you got to be kidding me. This is what we're doing?
Yeah, here we go again.
Yeah, this is what we're doing?
Yep.
Yeah.
And right after that interception, what does Dwayne Haskins come out there and do? 1.3 completion, 2.1 completion, inside zone, touchdown.
Those three run plays, three straight run plays.
Three straight run plays right there, two passes, only one pass went over 2 seconds, and then there you go. Like, how are you going to defend that? You know, that means now your secondary needs to be up a little bit more. You got to be a little bit more aggressive
which
now.
Which didn't happen.
When the ball is getting out that quick.
All right, let's take some phone calls here. Let's go to Lamar in Camden, New Jersey. Lamar, what's up? How are you?
How you doing?
Good.
What's up, Lamar?
How you doing, Ike? Thanks for what you're doing. You too, Trey.
All right, thank you.
All right. I just feel like do you feel like that it was more the offensive line or Carson or Doug or who's the most to blame?
I don't think it's the most. I think everybody kind of on this, you know. you kind of put this on everybody. I mean, you know, of course you can sit up there and look at the 8 sacks, 14 quarterback hits and say, hey, it was all on the offensive line. But I don't think it's all on the offensive line. I think it's some of the coaching too, because, like, all right, what are you teaching? Like, why aren't the calls, certain calls being made? All right, why aren't you forcing Carson to go to these other reads or whatever? You know, the adjustments, I just felt like the adjustments weren't there on the coach's behalf. And then I also felt like, you know what, at times the players weren't in the right situation and didn't make the right calls.
Ike said this yesterday. Like, they kept coming out trying the same thing, Trey, in the second half, kind of over and over again. Why not try to run pace? Why not try to speed it up a little bit? No
they
huddle.
Did.
Try something different.
They did. They tried to come with a couple. They ran a little no huddle right out the gate. They started
first drive, right?
Yeah, first drive.
Yeah,
they
second
came
half.
But I think every now and then they would try to mix it in. But I mean, you know, so if you go no huddle and you're dealing with a pass rush that's already giving you problems, you know that the cadence is always going to be on Seth Hutt.
Ah.
You see what I'm saying?
His point is that
they know it's coming.
The defense
it's not going to be
doing that.
That's
and you got a rush that's already giving you problems. They already know, okay, it's going to be Seth Hutt. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Or it's going to always be on one.
And they can pin their ears back even more.
Oh, they can definitely pin their ears back even more.
Oh, boy. Trey, have you ever talked to Justin in Tennessee? Here he is, Justin in Tennessee. Okay. Justin.
What's happening, fellas? How you doing today?
What's up, Justin?
What's up, Justin?
What's up, Trey?
Chilling, man.
Nice to talk to you, bud.
Nice to talk to you, too, man.
He will. Yeah, it's contagious. We'll all be talking Tennessean in a minute.
Oh, well, you know, I'm from the South anyway, so I'm good.
From Florida anyway, man. Trey's from Florida State. So, I mean, he got a little twang to him anyway, probably.
Yeah, I do.
Well, first off, not only did the Eagles lose this weekend, I lost my first game in the Marks and Reese Fantasy League.
Oh man.
actually, there are only two other teams that would have beat me, I think. Well, I think I would have finished, you know, there's only one other team that would have beat me besides the one that drubbed me, and that old girl just beat the brakes off of me, and I still scored like 150 points.
Did you see Kimberly with the highest point total in the league? Yes.
Yeah, she beat the brakes off of me, boys. I mean, it was like a curb stomp.
I mean, like 180 points, right? 170-something points.
Yeah, nice. Like I said, I thought I was doing well with 150, and then I seen she had dang near 180, and I was like, my goodness, she ain't taking no prisoners. Anyway, Trey, one thing that I noticed that I didn't see them do a whole lot was like quick slants and stuff. When you've got these quick mobile receivers like that, why did they not try any just quick slants to get the ball out of his hand quicker?
I don't know. Take the easy, you know, if you got these, because you do have these fast receivers, you know, take those little easy throws if they can create separation. Now, until I can get to see the all 22, I don't know how that secondary really went after the receivers like that, because it's hard to see it when you're looking at the TV copy, at the broadcast copy, to see how that secondary challenged them. But to me, it seems like – but now, Carson was looking down his receivers a little bit.
Well, both interceptions, he basically looked right at who he was throwing it to.
Yeah, so then, I put that on coaching as well, because, I mean, you should know, going into over these past couple years, that has always been something that he had an issue with. Press Taylor, hey, man. Make that correction.
Get in his ear.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question, Trey. Do you think that – we know that Mike Rowe was at least, according to what people are saying, maybe him and Carson, like he maybe challenged Carson on some things, or they didn't always see eye to eye is what you see written. And Press Taylor is – you know, they're very close, and it's almost like a friendship. How difficult is it to have a coach, especially with a young franchise quarterback that's on a $100 million contract, to get a guy that's going to coach him hard? I mean, Bill Belichick's not on this coaching staff, right? We know Belichick will coach everybody hard. Mm-hmm. How hard is it to get a coach that's actually going to coach the star quarterback hard?
You better have some. You better make sure you have results. But I think what player wouldn't appreciate a coach that's going to coach you hard?
I agree.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I always had Juan those 11
years. Oh, so, yeah, that's all you know. Yeah,
so, I mean, you know, and then I went down to Andy Heck in Jacksonville. He was cool. But, you know, I think I respect the coach that can correct me.
Yeah.
And if I'm doing something wrong, let me know. Yeah, I mean, because it's only going to make me better.
Right.
I have no problem with that. And any player that has a problem with that, what does that say about you?
Yeah, I don't think you can be very successful there. I think with pro players, it's different than high school and college from this standpoint. you had better know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I try something you ask me to try, and I don't get the results I'm looking for. I'm not trusting you,
mm-hmm.
right? Like that, and at that position, that happens.
Mm-hmm.
I think about out there in Kansas City. It's why Pat Mahomes has it so well. He has the great Andy Reid as his coach.
Yeah.
So Andy Reid, and I listen to some of the mic'd up games of Andy Reid and Pat Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Andy Reid listens to Pat Mahomes a lot.
Yeah.
Like Pat Mahomes suggests something, Andy's like, okay. When Pat Mahomes does something Andy's not necessarily on board with, Andy, you will always see Andy go over there and sit down next to Pat Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because normally when a head coach goes and sits down, you notice it because he isn't
he's
on the sideline. He's the
yes.
head coach. Yeah, you're right.
Yes.
You're right.
I mean.
But you got to – I mean, you should be able to coach anybody that's out there on that field.
Yep.
They should feel like, you know, you got somebody that's going to give you that, you know.
It's giving you an advantage.
Yeah, give me a correction. Correct me. I don't have no problem with that.
All right, coming up, more with Trey in studio. We'll get to all your phone calls as well. And one of the key members of the Eagles' offensive line announced he's playing this week. How does it change the outcome for Sunday? And how would Trey shuffle the offensive line? Find out coming up next. It's Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
Can we guarantee 100% that Lane Johnson will be out there against the Rams on Sunday?
I'm going to be out there, D-Gun. I'm going to be out there, so count on it.
There you go. That's D-Gun's Twitter, Trey.
Huh?
Lane Johnson. Ike, he's going to be out there?
That's awesome.
I would say the team probably wanted him to wait on that.
You would think, right, before they
– Yeah, I think so.
Should have been out there week one.
Well, to Trey's point, he's so sure he's going to be out there. Today's Tuesday, right? I mean, he played a game. The game played 2 days ago.
Right, and he already knows he's playing on
Should
Tuesday. Should
have been out there week one.
Well, if he indeed is out there week two, Trey, I mean, he could have been practiced really the whole month of August, right, if he had ankle surgery.
Pretty much, yeah.
He hasn't practiced for the last month.
The ankle surgery should have been in January.
Yeah, we were talking about this.
February, before mm-hmm. the pandemic hit. Ankle surgery should have been done. That's just my own personal opinion on it.
Yeah.
Like, why wait to August? You know.
Don't want to mess with his vacation time.
I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, that's the time to do stuff like that, though.
You're right.
Without knowing any details.
So you're ready for the beginning of the season.
So you can be ready to go.
Yeah. Right. Without knowing any details, because we didn't even know he had ankle surgery until last week.
It got leaked out, some
report. They didn't even say it. Maybe, and we saw this with Deshaun, we're not going to have surgery because we're going to try to rest and rehab through it, right? So maybe, and listen, this is a trend with the Eagles. The more people get hurt, guys aren't coming back fast. Happened last year with Deshaun. Trey, perhaps they said, well, it's going to be okay. Let's just, you'll be all right. And then he gets to camp and it's really bothering him. So they decide to have the surgery. I hear you.
I am the wrong
that's
one.
That old, this is Mr. Rub Grass and Dirt on your ankle and get out there on the field.
I'm the wrong one for this. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it was something that needed to be cleaned out, if you're going to – bone spurs don't get better. Mm. That ain't happening.
You
I mean, you got bone spurs, you got bone spurs. I had to have bone spurs surgery.
And what month do you have it in?
After the season.
January, February.
Mm. Yeah.
All right, decent point. What do you expect from a guy that hasn't practiced in over a month that's coming off of surgery? What do you expect against a very good front from the Rams?
I mean, you know, I think there's, you know, especially right now, I know that they're not going to be practicing him hard, you know, so you're going to be easing him back into it. You know, I don't know. Who knows? Who knows?
It's so hard when you don't get to see the guys, right? Trey, have you ever like had that type of time off and then without any games prior, because he doesn't get any preseason games, doesn't get anything, he basically is being thrown right into the fire, right? Like he didn't get much time in training camp to do a whole lot of work, right?
You're talking to somebody that came off blood clot medication
twice.
Twice so that I can get into training camp and go to work. Yeah. So that's why when it comes to stuff like this, man, I don't, you know. You may be
looking at it a different way than others.
Yeah, good job. Yeah,
he's ready to go. He's ready to go back in my day.
Okay, so like you said, who knows? Who knows what he's going to give you on Sunday?
Yeah.
But it's at least good to get him back so you know he's back. And
yeah, the more guys you get back out there, you know, the more you can make Carson comfortable, you know, having his line out there, you know. So we'll see. And then I don't know how much time he's been able to work with Nate, you know, because now, you know, when you have a new person out there and a new chemistry, here comes some games.
Why did they stick with Nate? So I guess Matt Pryor just is not the right guard, huh?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Matt went from being the starting right guard once Brandon Brooks went down to now, okay, you know what, we're moving you to left tackle. Then, no, they put him at right guard. Then you move him to, right tackle. And then now you're over to left tackle, which was a couple weeks before the season. And, you know, that didn't help. That couldn't help his confidence at all. And then now all of a sudden you're like, all right, you know what, to now you're on the bench.
Yeah.
Yeah, now we're putting a guy that no one even knew of before this season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Out there.
Yeah.
All right, 215-592-9494. Trey, you know the Flyers mascot Gritty?
Yeah.
We have Black Gritty that calls into the show.
Yeah. I've seen him on Twitter.
BlackGritty.com.
Oh, yeah.
What's up?
Who hasn't seen Black Gritty? Yeah.
Ain't no party like a trade day party, because a trade day party don't stop. Well, actually, it stops at 4 o'clock. But you know what I'm saying.
Happy
Tuesday, brother.
Yeah, man. Happy Tuesday to you.
Look, I'm out here crying and stuff. We burning in the streets, Ike. The streets is on fire. The city, the town. Mark, you lucky you living out of town right now. The kids are safe, because right now, boy, the city is on fire, brother. Mm. Let me tell you something. I'm looking at – I love Carson Wentz. You know I love Carson Wentz. I'm looking at him like Tony Burton and Rocky. Throw in the dang gum ball, brother. Throw away the dang gum ball. Like, just once. I just want to see him do it one time in his career. For 5 years, I haven't seen it one time. Can I get one throwaway?
You know what? I think you're right. I don't recall him ever throwing the ball away.
You know what? I don't think I've ever seen him.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that.
No.
I can't believe I long for the days of Donovan McNabb throwing at people's feet. I can't believe it. But
Donovan
here. I can't recall one time him throwing the ball away. Then we got the O-line look like a sieve. That's all Howie. Howie, we trust. Oh, the pick master flex. I'm looking at two linemen going in the second round and another two going in the third round. And I'm like, brother, we could have used one of them, because as far as I'm concerned, my line need to be a fullback. Boy, I never played those lines in his life. And never played them. Put him in there as a big old fringe fullback so we can run away. Oh, we can't run the ball because we ain't got no backup running back. Oh, my God. And then we got a coach that wants to call play action and say, who you play faking? Who? Who you play faking? You ain't faking nobody. A five-year-old know what you do. You ain't ran the ball. This team is on fire, dog. And I don't know if we're going to fix it, brother. We're in a struggling lane. Because we're going up against Donald. Not 99% on Matt. That's what that boy got. Forget his number. 99%. He's throwing 19 people into a quarterback. And what he going to do? Oh, my God. Call the cops. Put a case on this dude quick. Get him locked up, because it's going to be a bad weekend. I love you guys. I miss so much, and I lost a fantasy because, you know, I had the Bronco bucket in the first quarter. We looked good, but then we started going backwards, dog, because this is
rough. Go take a nap, Black Gritty. There he's Black Gritty.
He's exhausted.
So
man,
this is what I'm thinking.
Yes.
Because you're going to have to slide the line to Aaron Donald, and this is going to be the problem. Because you're going to try to slide that line to Aaron Donald, and you're going to expose everybody else.
Right, because he moves around, right?
Yeah, he's going to move around.
Yeah.
So you're going to try to get some help over there to him. Like, whoa. You know, hey, let me get somebody over there to help. And then now you're going to expose the other side of the line, because, I mean, if I were them, I would just say, all right, y'all going to slide Aaron Donald? Okay, well, I'm bringing the blitz to every other side. Then.
Black Gritty had mentioned Jordan Mailata. We know he came in, he played a quarter. How did he look?
I thought Jordan did good. I mean, you know, for someone to come in, I thought that he did pretty good. Now, Jordan plays, he's what, 6'8"? He plays 6'8". You know what I'm saying? Like,
Is that not a good thing?
No, not when it comes to run blocking. You know what I'm saying? Because you're standing straight up, and I mean, he out there chest running everybody back. You know what I'm saying? So, and I get it. I struggled as a run blocker, you know. Because
you're tall.
I hated run blocking. But, you know, I thought that when it came to protection, he did a solid job. Mm-hmm. You know, for someone that's just coming in straight into the game.
That was his first real game, actually.
That's your first real game.
I just thought about that.
He hasn't played before. No.
And you look out there, man, he going to write a song about it.
Listen, Matt Pryor's confidence has to be shot right now.
Man.
They just brought in a rugby player before they gave Matt a shot.
And a good talk came out of nowhere. Where'd the good talk come from?
Not out there on the field.
Just brought the good talk from nowhere.
Well, maybe he can play and Lane Johnson can start dancing again. Right?
Was Matt one of our draft picks, or was he some type of
six-round draft pick?
Sixth round.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got a foreign league guy.
It looked
foreign league.
It looked like it looked like a good pick. A sixth rounder that is kind of your backup at every position, yeah, and can start, you're like, okay, that's a good pick, but he can't even start.
Hell, he couldn't even come in to sub.
That's what I'm saying. He can't even start when your guys are hurt. Yeah.
But he started in a playoff game.
Yeah, man,
then I forget about that, yes.
I mean, Trey, listen, you talked about Pryor after seeing him in the game, and you were like, all right, he did all right.
Yeah, I thought he did good last year. I thought he did really good when he stepped in and had to fill in for Brandon Brooks, and then it was the Seattle game, and then he played against New York. Now, I thought, yes, Brandon Brooks came back. Did he come back?
No, the Giants game is where it started at, because that was the last game.
No, it was the first Seattle game.
Oh, okay, the first Seattle game.
The first Seattle game, because Brandon went down. He had to step in and play the second half. I don't know. Well, yeah, because they had to move Vitae out to right.
What happened is Whatchamacallit was over there stinging up the joint. Dillard.
Yeah, Dillard was at right tackle.
And
they
got
him out of there.
Yeah,
that's right. And then they put Big V over there at right tackle.
Okay.
And then they brought Matt Pryor in to play right guard.
Okay. Yeah.
For that Seattle game. And then now he had to start in that second game against New York.
Yeah.
All right, coming up, we will look ahead with Trey to what the Eagles have to do this weekend against the Rams. And we'll get the rest of your phone calls as well. 215-592-9494. Darius Slay is going to join us coming up at 4 o'clock as well. It's Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. But hey, listen, let's talk about DraftKings for a second, right? It was great to see the teams back out on the gridiron this weekend. And lucky for us, it's just week one. There's no better place to get in on all the action than DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. And to add to the excitement of week two, DraftKings Sportsbook's bringing back their can't-miss offer. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, head to the App Store now because you don't want to miss this. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users the chance to turn $1 into $100 when they bet on any team. That's right. You can place a $1 bet on any team. If that team wins, you cash a cool Benjamin. How can you pass that up? And if you're new to DraftKings Sportsbook, head to the app now to scout their latest offers. Bet with DraftKings Sportsbook, a sportsbook that goes wherever you go. And DraftKings is safe, reliable, secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. So download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code Philly when you sign up, and you'll get this can't-miss offer. Pick any team during week two. You bet $1 to win $100 if they win. That's $1 to win $100 when you use promo code Philly during sign-up for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
And there's Aaron Donald. Just watch some of the things that go on. Even the great Tyron Smith on the outside, he can power his way through. Going up against Zach Martin, gets a sack. And the grab and the pull. I love that move. Watch this again. Oh, right around.
Ooh, boy.
There you have it. Yes. The Rams and Aaron Donald coming to town on Sunday. Our Twitter question today brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. If you're thinking of getting engaged, you have to visit Mark's Jewelers and their 25,000 square foot showroom. Details and everything else, marks-jewelers.com. And it's the question, Trey.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get it right here. No, not that one. Are the Eagles going to be okay, or are you hitting the panic button?
You know what? It's only the first game. You know, it's only the first game. I think they'll be okay. You're going to have to, you know, go in there and retool some things and check it out. But, you know, you need to hurry up and clean this up because these next four games, no joke.
What does okay mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
that's what Ike said.
Yeah, I mean,
Ike didn't like the question.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what okay means. I mean, you know, you got a quarterback that just, I mean, was getting up. That one last quarterback hit he took, man, he kind of got up like, man.
Eyes rolled to the back of the head.
Oh, man, he was looking like, man, you know, man, I want to just go hold my puppy for a little bit and play with my daughter, you know. That's right, he hurt. Hurt.
One more thing from last week. Zach Ertz, three catches. He had seven targets, 18 yards, had a bad drop on the fourth down play.
Had a touchdown, first touchdown of the season.
But I mean, of course people are going
to get that in there. Get that in there.
People are going to wonder, including me, if all of this contract stuff is still in his head during the game.
You don't think it is?
Oh, I do.
Absolutely.
Especially when the guy that you think is going to take your job has eight catches for 101.
That did not help. Especially in the beginning of the game, you looking like, hey, he throwing his hand up like, oh, the ball going. Oh, it's going to Dallas. Oh, all right. Get back in the huddle, put his hand up. Oh, the ball going back to Dallas again. Okay. All right, and then now, oh, you want me to go across the middle now? Did you not hear me say I played in a game with a lacerated kidney? You want me to go make that catch?
You think he might have been peeking a little bit?
Nah, I don't know. I'm just saying, you know, it just feels good to get it off my chest. I mean,
he might have been. Yeah.
So now you want me to go across the middle?
Put the body on the line now.
You want me to put the body on the line now? Did you not just hear me say I played with a lacerated kidney, man?
He said it. Now, Ike has said this a couple times over the last few days since this happened, where he said that if you're insulted by an offer and it's so far below what you would expect, are they really telling you they don't want to resign you?
That's what it's saying. When you say, okay, that the offer is so low that they know, like, oh, he's definitely not going to take this.
Yeah, he ain't going to take this.
He ain't going to take this. You know, so, yeah, I mean, that's kind of, you know, it does seem that way. And
that's
especially
the message.
When you get in the game and you're like, oh. And it seems to me, and it made me feel like, all right, when he made the fuss about it, and then in the game, it's just like every call was going to Dallas. I'm like.
See, that's the other thing, John, and Trey. See, when I say there's bad mojo around the team, this is the type of stuff I mean.
Yep.
Uh-huh. Right? Because it doesn't seem like everybody is on the same page fighting for the same thing. Like, Zach Ertz has always been a big part of the game plan, part of this offense, or what have you. Now, I'm not excusing Zach for going out there and not being totally locked in from a mental standpoint. I'm not excusing that. But what I am saying is, this is why I don't have a great feeling about the team's overall ability this year to do anything special. It doesn't feel like – like, Zach out there Sunday, in my opinion, had bad body language.
Yeah.
He didn't play with the type of energy and excitement I'm used to watching him play with. And we're human. We can't help but naturally think, oh, he must be mad Dallas Goedert is getting the ball thrown to him.
Mm-hmm.
And the ball's not coming to him. He used to get all these touches, all these attempts.
Oh, he would get more targets than anybody.
Yeah. He could count on eating every Sunday. And to watch another guy playing your position when you feel like this is your last year, get your touches.
Yeah. He ain't got all the big pieces of chicken.
But like, to your
truth,
point,
truth, man.
To your point,
gave him the biscuits and all, everything, man. I can't get nothing.
Unfortunately, it brings kind of a negative vibe into the locker room.
Yes.
Even if Zach isn't necessarily, like, he just might be detached to the rest of the team. He's not as involved.
Right.
He's not the captain, and I'm sure he feels a certain way about that.
And that's the other thing. We talked about that last week too.
Yeah.
It just makes things worse.
Yeah, because if he don't feel like he's a part of this and you don't value him, I just wonder where his head is at.
He's going to shut it down.
I hope that's not what he's going to do. My only point is that you don't know if that's – I give you another example. A younger player, DeSean Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
DeSean's worst year from a mental standpoint was the Dream Team year.
Mm-hmm.
You went and paid all these other players. He wants a new contract. You go pay the Giant Steve Smith to come in here. And DeSean is playing for $500,000. What did he do that year? Showed up late to practices,
mm-hmm.
slept in meetings, showed up late to a doggone game.
Oh.
Andy benched him before the game. Because he wasn't late for the actual game, but he was late for the reporting time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Trey? You know
that
we got to be there.
Before.
Yeah, we got to be there at least mm-hmm. 2 hours before the game.
Mm-hmm.
DeSean comes rolling in there 45 minutes before the game, and who knows what shape he was in at that point. Right? Like, I'm just saying.
Good way to put it.
Wait, we've been drinking at Ike Junior back then.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
He flew in on his magic carpet.
Yeah, so my point is that when you have players like that, are they giving you their all? Some people can work through that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't play any less my last year.
Trey was on last year of contracts, right?
Yeah, I wasn't stunned it, though.
Well, it's a reason why he was okay.
But your mentality was that
I was on the last year of that contract. You know, all our contracts are backloaded anyway. So
exactly.
Like, yeah.
He pretty much saw all his deal.
Yeah, I was like, this is beautiful.
But if you play the way that you play, that it's going to take care of itself, whether it's here or somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, and then, like, you don't want to go out there and half it because then now you get hurt.
Right.
So, you know, but you know what? If you want him to go out there and give him all that, hey, man, take care of him.
It's the mental. It's the mental toughness part of it,
mm-hmm.
man. And you know the dude's an emotional dude.
Yeah.
How
yes.
many times have we seen Zach crying after losses?
He already told you.
He told you that.
He told you I wear my heart on my sleeve.
Yes.
Lacerated kidney.
Lacerated kidney.
All right, Trey.
Like Kobe.
Trey, we are yes.
If anybody, I got like Slade Kobe wearing Kobe jerseys.
Well, we gotta decide who's the biggest Kobe guy. You or Darius?
It's Slay.
Don't call him Darius. He doesn't want to be called
it's
Darius.
Slay.
Big play, sorry.
He's already said it. No, just call him Slay.
Just call him Slay.
So, Slay.
He doesn't want to be called Darius.
Trey, you will join us at – no, he said as much, too.
Oh, okay.
Slay. He doesn't like Darius.
Yeah, he doesn't like Darius.
Yeah.
No. So, it's like
William and Trey.
Well, it's like T.L. Yeah, you don't want to be called William.
No, I don't mind.
Terrell and Terrell.
But Terrell didn't want to be called Terrell.
Okay. But
that's fine.
But, okay.
It's Terrell.
It's Terrell.
Yeah.
I know, but I mean, you know.
When he calls,
it's that new age, you know. So how does Darius pronounce his name, dude?
No, he just wants Darius, to be called
Slay.
He just wants to be called Slay.
Slay. Oh, yeah, okay, yeah. All right, I got it.
Here's a question. When I pick up, do I say, hey, Slay?
Yes.
All
right.
Do not call him Darius. He told everybody, don't call me Darius. You don't have to call him Big Play. Call him Slay. Yes,
don't call me Darius Slay.
If you ruin this guess, I'm telling you, man.
Yeah, really.
That's what's up, though, man.
All right, so Trey, quickly, because we're up against it, and Darius Slay's coming up at 4 o'clock. I mean, what do you think for this week? I know it's only Tuesday, so it's hard to give a prediction, but where are you leaning early in the week?
Man, I'm just looking at these stats right quick, man. When you got Aaron Donald with 1 sack, 1 tackle for loss, and 4 quarterback hits.
Ooh, boy.
Just 4 quarterback hits by himself.
So you're telling me he could have a big game on Sunday?
Possibly.
All right, there he is.
I appreciate you holding your prediction until later this week. Yeah, don't crush everybody today.
No, man, I
ain't
gonna do it. I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah, don't crush them. Right.
Never know how the team is gonna bounce back.
Trey, I will. I'll see you on Twitter, and I'll see you immediately after the Eagles game on the other post game show, WIP's Facebook and Instagram account.
Absolutely.
All right, I'll see you then.
All right, big man. Yeah,
coming up, Darius Slay. Don't call me Darius. Call him Slay. He's gonna join us every Tuesday at 4 o'clock. What were his takeaways from Sunday? What does he think about the Rams and their passing attack? We'll get into it all with Darius Slay coming up next. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP.
Hey, by now you've probably heard about FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino's world-class sports betting app. Now, FanDuel makes it easy to find and place your bets. They got some of the best odds you'll find anywhere. Constant enhanced odds boost, and they even give you your winnings in as little as 24 hours. And there's a lot of reasons to try FanDuel Sportsbook, but here's 2 more for you. Right now, new users can place their first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. You can also place a pregame money line wager, and if your team scores 35-plus points, guess what? You'll double your winnings. Max bonus, $50 in site credit, and only 1 eligible wager per person. Also, like today's NBA slate of games, I like the underdogs in those games. Give me Miami +1.5 over Boston, and I'll take Denver +7 against Los Angeles. Go see for yourself why FanDuel is the #1 sportsbook app. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started, and be sure to sign up with promo code Ike so they know that I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Ike.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.